Clark Kellogg, one of the best in the biz. He's a Clevelander. He's a Buckeye. And he's with us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Clark, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
I'm great, guys. Proud of all of that. Buckeye heritage all through and through. Buckeye alum. Represent the 216 wherever I am. Yep.
Nice.
Happy to be known as a Northeastern Ohio and then a Buckeye.
Is it hard? You're doing the tourney, but when the Buckeyes are playing, is it, you know, it mean a little more? I mean, you are such a good
always.
Analyst, but it hurts,
always.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, always. When I'm, obviously, when I'm doing their games, I've got to be much more objective and
right.
be professional. But if I'm in the studio and then I've still got to be objective in analyzing what I see, but my heart is always going to bleed scarlet and gray. I'm really proud of that team, though. I mean, they really encountered some difficulty, some adversity, had some limitations as a group, and I really think they came close to maxing out what they could to get to the tournament, to play two games, to win one. I think that's a heck of an accomplishment, and clearly the future is very, very bright with the leadership there and the kind of players that will return and that will be added to the mix. Going forward.
Yeah, I think, Clark, I mean, just winning a game in the tournament is an accomplishment. And for this squad, you know, they barely get in. You know, they had the Weston was out for a few games, and they had a tough end of the season. I think Chris Holtman's doing a heck of a job there.
No, he's terrific, man. My wife and I have known him since probably 2009. He was actually at OU as an assistant when our youngest son was being recruited to go there. So we got to know Chris then, and obviously, I've been able to get to know him even more as a head coach in the collegiate ranks, primarily when he was at Butler. We got a chance to spend a little more time together. I was still working for the Pacers then, and I'm thrilled to have him leading the program. He's platinum level in every way, and he's going to do great things. He's already done a great job in his first 2 years, and it's only going to continue.
We're talking with Clark Kellogg of CBS, of course, NCAA tournament. Clark, a lot of one-sided games on Saturday and Sunday, but we do have a lot of great matchups heading into next weekend. But it certainly wasn't lopsided Duke-UCF after the game. That scene with Coach Dawkins was amazing. We're talking to that team, and the guys are all crying. I mean, it was a beautiful speech by him, but it was also heartbreaking. What a game. Can you just give us your thoughts on the game and then what happened after the game at UCF?
Oh man, extremely emotional. It brought tears to my eyes,
yeah.
Quite honestly. I mean, you start thinking about the relationship they have, how important Johnny Dawkins was to the beginning of what's become the Duke Dynasty type program under Coach Krzyzewski's leadership. I think Johnny was his first significant recruit and part of the first team that went to the Final Four in, I think, 86. And they had a significant run. But again, the emotional elements in that competitive game, the way it ended, Johnny Dawkins' son being such an integral figure, having a fantastic, fantastic game, almost a heroic game had he been able to get that chip in to go down. The relationship between the families, the Krzyzewskis and the Dawkinses. I mean, that stuff is, you can't make it up. It's real life stuff. It's real, sincere, heartfelt emotion and care for one another in the crucible of competition. So you throw all of that stuff together, and then the quality of the game. I mean, heck, I think UCF probably won. I want to say you break the game off into 10 four-minute segments in college. I think UCF won six or seven of those segments. I'll have to go back and check.
Yeah.
But they played a high-level game. And then Duke, hey, those young kids didn't wilt. They came up with big key plays down the stretch. Just a fantastic fantastic game. It's a shame that you can't have a tie and both teams move on, but that's just not the way it is. But good stuff all the way around.
Yeah, it was a heck of a game. It's kind of funny because you always, well, I don't know about you, but like I like upsets, and so you're kind of rooting for UCF, but then I'm thinking, I don't want Zion to not be on TV playing
right,
for Duke.
Right.
You know, this guy is so phenomenal, and just his kind of will, Clark, to get Duke the game.
Yeah.
I mean, his defense, his rebounding, I mean, the guy did it all.
Yeah, he puts his hands on every part of the game.
Yeah.
He's as unique an athlete as we've seen playing the game with his size, strength, speed, and quickness, and running and moving, but also his quickness of second and third jump is especially unique. So clearly, I hear you. I mean, the upsets are always something we enjoy about the tournament. But if you had your druthers, I think certainly from a network standpoint and a college basketball fan standpoint, you'd like to see Zion continue to play along with R.J. Barrett and Duke. But you certainly can understand that UCF was just as deserving of winning that game as Duke was, and just came up a roll of the ball short.
Clark, I know last week you were on with our morning show, and you said that you thought Zion was the best college player you've seen since Shaq. I brought up Carmelo Anthony last week, and I said that Zion's got a win to beat Carmelo Anthony for me. Is that fair, unfair? What do you think?
Yeah, I think you can have that perspective. My take was simply in terms of unique and dominating. Carmelo was not as unique as Zion. I think Zion's the most unique player since Shaq. In terms, Shaq came, and we had not seen what Shaq was until he arrived in terms of that size, that strength, that power. And Zion combines a lot of that with unique bouncing ability. So that was my point. Not that he was the best, just that he was the most unique player since Shaq in terms of being something that's a little different than anything we've kind of seen in the last, really, I'd go, that's 25 to 30 years is what my point was.
He's made Duke likable, Clark. I mean, I always root against Duke, and now I'm rooting for him. He's the first player they've had that's made them likable, if you're not a Duke fan.
Well, you know what? That's a matter of personal preference.
True.
Some folks like vanilla ice cream, strawberry, whatever. So it's a matter of flavor preference. But clearly he's got great charisma and terrific ability. And it's that combination certainly makes him a must-watch TV and easy to root for.
Clark, don't you think he is one of the rare exceptions of a guy who comes to college, is for sure one and done, and actually like makes himself money? He has done so much for his own brand, I think, this year. And because he wasn't solidified as the top pick like before the season or coming out of high school, but now it's a landslide. I mean, the guy could be a top pick if he tore his ACL tomorrow.
Well, again, it has to play itself out, and oftentimes the projections are just that, projections, and sometimes we get the cart way out in front of the horse. And I like to see it play out based on what's earned and deserved versus what's projected. So ultimately, that's what's going to tell the tale of the tape. How do you perform? What you come in with in terms of accolades and rankings and draft board position, that's all for us to talk about on radio and TV. It has no bearing on what decision makers are going to do with their draft choices. You better be able to play in addition to being projected to play, or you're not going to get drafted. So he certainly has enhanced his position as an NBA prospect, which moves him to the top of the heap. And it's great to see it unfold that way. Come, show what you've got, and the rest of it will take care of itself.
We're talking with Clark Kellogg of CBS. Clark, let's move to – by the way, you know, one more thing in terms of the draft. Is Taco Fall an NBA player?
I don't think so, but I certainly think he's going to get an opportunity. I mean, the way the game is played now, guys, and again, this is just me talking, and I've just got one opinion. I think it'll be hard for a guy of that size to be a factor in the NBA, the way the game is played. You have times out there where guys, I mean, you don't have a real center out there.
Right,
everybody's facing the floor. Now, it's like selling a house. It only takes one person to give you a good offer to make it worth your while. So there might be a team or two. I certainly think he'll get an opportunity to go to some workouts and have people evaluate him up close to see if there's a role for him. But I tell you what, just from what we've learned and read about him, he's obviously much more than just a 7'6 basketball player. That guy is worldly and smart and has great perspective and other interests. So I'd love to see him get a chance, but I would not project him as an NBA player right now. But I've been wrong before.
Clark, who was the most impressive team to you of the first weekend?
The most impressive team? Wow, there are a number. I think Carolina was really pretty impressive after they got through that first half against Iona. I'll tell you, Texas Tech and what they did with Buffalo, I really thought they Buffalo would be able to score better, but they really shut them down. In a two-game look, I'd have to probably say Oregon, because they've been slapping people around in the second half for the last 6 or 7 games. I think they've outscored teams by an average of 12 or 13 points in the second 20 minutes of their last 5 or 6 games, and that's pretty impressive.
Clark, a lot of people, well, no, I shouldn't say a lot of people, but there were some people that had a problem with Tom Izzo and how he dealt with his player during the game.
Uh-huh.
And I did not. I mean, I've been coached like that, and I kind of like to be coached like that. What was your takeaway?
I'm with you, but I think it goes a little deeper than that. You know, how you interact with people you're close with, be they family, mom to dad, mom to husband, mom to kid, dad to kid, player to coach, is all born out of relationship and trust and standards and expectations. Tom Izzo has established a way of operating as the head coach there that is in your face, that is very honest and candid and emotional and passionate. And guess what? He allows his players to be that way too with him. And so when you're in the heat of competition and something like that interaction happens, it's the ground rules have been laid for the players and coaches, and they embrace them and have no problem with them. So therefore, nobody on the outside should have an issue with it. And that's my take on it. They've established that through their relationship and trust with one another, standards, expectations, personality, and everybody knows those cards are on the table and that it's sometimes going to be messy and not ideal, but it's family, and we're going to work through it on our terms, and nobody's going to take it personal, and we're going to try to get better going through it. So that's how I looked at it completely. Obviously, some people go off the rails when there's this type of stuff that goes on. But I was like Charles. I mean, Charles says people relax. He was just coaching his players, and it's from a place of care, trust, and real relationship.
Clark, well said. Final thing, I know you, speaking of you, Charles, you guys, I know you were talking about wrestling the other day, but who is your all-time favorite wrestler?
Hey, the Bobo Brazil and Ernie Ladd battles. I live for those as a young buck. I disagree with Charles. Charles still thinks that stuff is real. I'm not quite ready to go there. But no, I enjoyed those Saturday mornings, man.
Yeah.
I just think back to some of those. There was another guy who had, I can't remember his name, though, but he had an Indian chief type of headband.
Chief J. Strongbow? Was it Chief J. Strongbow?
No, I don't think it was Chief J. Oh. It was something else. But anyway, Bobo Brazil stands out because I love the headbutt and his. He seemed like a giant. I imagine he probably wasn't that big, but when you're 8 or 9 years old and you're watching him. But Bobo Brazil and Ernie Ladd were the guys that I kind of locked into. And then after that, I picked up my round ball and got immersed in that.
That's right. Clark, we appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for the time.
All right, Adam, Dustin, take care, guys.
Thanks, Clark.
Thanks. Great Clark Kellogg. He's the best. Love listening to him.